I don't know about you, but I'd rather listen to Tim and Linda again than hear this, but here we go. So we overhear a conversation today between a sincere religious man and Jesus, and this guy asked Jesus, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know the law, what have you tried?" And the guy said, "Oh, I've kept all the commandments since I was a kid." Apparently that wasn't enough, huh? Following all the rules still left him feeling far from God. Now, why would that be? Wouldn't you think that following all the rules listed in the Bible would make you feel religious? Well, it does. It can make us feel really religious. What it doesn't do is lead us to trust God, and it does not lead us into a relationship of love and grace. All it means is we followed the rules. See, if we assume that our relationship with God is mostly about obedience, then we end up living like dogs who are trained with punishment instead of reward. I'm not going to go into that fugue, but you can imagine the difference, right? Dogs that are trained with punishment, they're afraid all the time. That mentality leads us into fear. All we have left then is fear that we're not going to be good enough. It's a subtle, sneaky thing. And then Jesus says to the guy, "Well, there's just one thing left to do." I can feel the excitement rising in him, thinking, "Okay, I'm almost there. Just one more secret, one more thing to do, username and password or something, and I'm all set." Ready? Here it is. "So sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then you can follow me." Oh. Can you hear the air going out of him? And we're told he went away quite sad because he had many possessions. He had been so self-reliant. He had been such a good man about following the rules. But it didn't work. Now, one of the things we need to be aware of is mentality people had back then. Some of you have heard about the prosperity gospel in our time. Okay? People who corrupt the Bible to teach us that God wants us to be rich. Okay? And the preachers, by the way, who promote that prove it by being really rich. Okay? And that subverts the gospel. Okay, people back then in Jesus' time, they believed the same thing. They believed that if you are righteous and follow the rules, God will bless you with abundance and you will be rich. And your wealth is proof of your righteousness and God's blessing. So in our story today, three or four times we hear the disciples in arrest being really confused by what Jesus says when he says wealth is a hindrance. It's a hindrance to entering the kingdom of God. Now, for this guy, it wasn't just his wealth. It was his self-reliance, his attitude that he could do everything. So, do you suppose Jesus really wanted him to actually sell everything he had and give it away? I wonder if what Jesus was looking for was a willingness to do it. We heard this really hard choice a long, long time before in the story of Abraham and Isaac. You may know the story. Abraham had waited years and years. He's pushing 100. Finally, his long-promised son is there, Isaac. And Abraham and his wife Sarah have Isaac. And then when Isaac is a boy, God tells Abraham, "I want you to sacrifice Isaac to me." Oh, what a hideous story. For anybody, it makes our heart sink to our ankles. Why would God do that? Abraham didn't want to, but he did it. He goes out and he gets Isaac ready to sacrifice, has him tied up on a pile of wood, and just then God says, "Stop! Don't sacrifice your son. There's a ram over there caught in the branches. Sacrifice that instead." It's a hard and cruel sounding story. But the point is that Abraham showed God he was willing to give up that which was most precious to him, his only son. for the rich guy in our story today, I wonder if it's the same question. Not to actually do what was asked of him, but to show that he was willing. He was not. He chose his wealth and possessions over following Jesus. He had his own kingdom. Why would he want the kingdom of God? But do we need to sell everything we have and give it to the poor in order to follow Jesus? Of course not. The issue is what comes first in our lives. For Abraham, it was his long-awaited son. For the rich guy in our gospel today, it was his money and his wealth. What is it for you? The easy answer in our time might be our possessions, but it can certainly be other things. You know, we don't even need to have a lot of stuff for us to put what we have first or simply what we want. It might be our desire to be in control, or a house, our pride, our job. The point is, there are a lot of things that we are tempted to put first in our lives, believing deep down in our socks that they will make us happy and secure. All the things that vie for the most important place in our lives are a faith issue. And we can tell they are because we get offended, defensive, or angry about it when it's challenged. So Jesus follows this by telling us that familiar story about it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, when we hear kingdom of God, we often assume it means heaven when we die. But when Jesus says kingdom of God, he usually means heaven on earth, right here, right now, while we are living. We experience the kingdom of God when the hungry are fed, when we feel gratitude, when we give and receive mercy and forgiveness and compassion. And when we hear camel and eye of a needle, we often think of what's on the cover of our bulletin. Those of you who are coloring, it's right there. Okay. We assume that needle means the kind of thing that we use to sew with. Now, some scholars suggest this is an idiom to describe either a very narrow passage that's very hard to get through. You got to kind of walk through it sideways. Some scholars talk about many towns back then had a watchtower, and at night they would close the doors to keep all the bad guys and robbers out. And there was a small door under the watchtower that you could fit through, but you frequently had to crawl, which kept armies of invaders coming in. Okay, so they just guard this little crawl space. Okay? It's not impossible to get a camel through there, but it's really hard. To do it, you need to take everything that's loaded on the camel off. You need to unload the camel. So you could either keep your camel loaded and stay outside the walls at night where there are thieves and other bad guys, or you could take the load off and crawl through and get into the safety of the walled town. Now, we might think the problem is the door. Oh, no, the problem is not the door. The problem is what's on the camel. What's on our camels? What keeps you outside in the dark? What leaves you vulnerable to the bad guys and thieves and robbers and other scary things? What are you hanging on to so hard, hoping it'll give you freedom or security, and it ends up just sucking the life out of you? When my dad was a kid, there was a popular comedian named Jack Benny. He told a standing joke about he's getting held up, and the robber comes up to him with a gun and says, "Your money or your life?" And Jack Benny says nothing. And time goes by, and finally the robber says, "Well?" And Jack Benny says, "I'm thinking. I'm thinking." Wealth can hinder our faith. That's the obvious one. But it is by no means the only one. Hanging on to anything that pretends to be the most important things in our lives can prevent us from entering heaven on earth with Jesus today. It's about what comes first. If Jesus comes first, we can still have those other things. But we can tell they are no longer the most important if we are willing to put them down for a while. Jesus invites us to unload our camels so we can follow him through the eye of the needle into the path of life and contentment, of peace and purpose. Now, to be clear, unloading our camels alone is not the thing that saves us. All it does is make room. It makes room for God to get to work in our lives because our hands and our heads and our hearts have more room for God to enter in. When we let go, we make room for Jesus to enter to bring us the peace we need, the ability to face those really hard things that are waiting for us at work tomorrow. And when we make room, Jesus leads us into the kingdom of God with him today. Jesus says, for us alone, it's impossible. But for God, all things are possible. So let go. Make room for God's ways in your life to love us from existence into meaningful life, to free us from fear and guilt and shame. Stop trusting ourselves. Whether we believe we have fulfilled all the laws or that we can get into God's favors through our good deeds, stop hanging on to your own kingdom so that we can enter the kingdom of God, heaven on earth, today. So getting rid of those things, unloading the camel, doesn't save us. It's a first step. When we make room, God is at work in us to recreate us, make us new and free, to welcome us home.